The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Fast and I, good afternoon at 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line in session till 1. 69 new cases of COVID were recorded yesterday. We now have 438 active cases on the island. 2 people in Nobles with COVID, nobody in ICU. 310 people waiting for the result of a test today, and 41 people booked in for a test. From the vaccination dashboard, 68,207 first doses have been administered, 64,766 second doses, 606 third doses have been administered, and 16,335 boosters. So we're up to a grand total now of just 86 shots shy of 150,000. So 149,914 shots of vaccine have been administered on the Isle of Man. The Department of Health and Social Care has 10,711 shots currently in the big fridges there. 1,400 people, well, almost 1,400 people have failed to show up for their COVID-19 booster vaccine since the vaccination programme started. On Monday of this week, 187 residents were classed as DNA, did not attend. So with hundreds of no-shows, I mean hundreds of no-shows, could we see such vaccinations becoming mandatory? I just wonder what you thought. And if you have missed a booster vaccine, maybe accidentally, maybe on purpose, if you want to tell us why, then call 66 13 68. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. Obviously, the infection rate is going up, sometimes goes down, but I mean, that was 69 new cases today, 438 active cases. John takes a look.
Since the start of the COVID booster rollout, there have been 11,000, more than 11,000 jabs administered, but there have also been 1,388 DNAs did not attend, people who didn't show up. The booster program is worked out so the jabs prepared tally with those expected to come and get them. Sam Neen is a senior nurse in the Manx Vax programme.
The vaccine's delivered to us in multiple dose vials that must be used within a short time of being open. We have to defrost enough vials to match the number of people booked into for that particular session. Recently, we've seen an increasing number of people failing to attend their vaccination appointments without letting us know. When someone misses their appointment, they miss the opportunity to boost their protection against COVID-19. It also means vaccines wasted.
Across the water, it's been suggested that a compulsory mandatory system could be brought in. Are we considering such a move? Health Minister Laurie Hooper.
So at the moment, there are no plans to do that on the Isle of Man. I don't think it would be appropriate myself. I'm not a believer in mandating medical procedures for people. I don't think that's sensible. But unfortunately, what we are looking at really is, you'll have seen the winter framework that's been published that talks about the 3-level escalation plan. And obviously the risk that you have, if people aren't going out and getting their boosters, the risk that you have is they're now more at risk of catching COVID, which means there's more risk that we'll see a spike. And if we do see a spike that starts to put overwhelming pressure on the health service, we are going to have to start thinking about moving ourselves up through that winter framework, which will mean taking stronger mitigation measures, even going right up to the top level, which we don't really want to get to, is that kind of legal restrictions and legal measures back in again. And so the message again to people is, you know, if you're being invited to these booster jabs, please go and take them up, because it is the single biggest thing. It's not the only thing we can do by any stretch, but it is the single biggest thing we can do to help mitigate the spread of COVID on the island.
The Health Minister, Laurie Hooper. So what is the cost of a missed booster? Interim Chief Executive of the Department of Health and Social Care is Catherine Magson.
So it varies on the workforce that we've got on at the time and how many necessary DNAs we've had during that session. But on average, we're spending about £30,000 a week on running the vaccination programme. So it gives you a feel for the costs are considerable. It's a really important part of our living with COVID and our COVID response. And ultimately, as I said, we do think it's the most important thing that people can do to help across this winter period.
Do you agree with what they had to say? Do you agree that, I mean, obviously, if we're spending £30,000 a week, it helps if people show up. You do get value for money. Otherwise, they're used possibly elsewhere or maybe just thrown away. Any thoughts on the matter? A note in from Charles who just said, look, I'm not excusing people who miss an appointment, but maybe the method of notification could be improved. I got a letter with my appointment well over a month in advance. People can genuinely forget, so perhaps a text message reminder, like the doctors and dentists do, that may help, says Charles. Did you miss your booster? If you had one, was it just because the letter got put somewhere in the kitchen with a tin of beans on top of it and you forgot all about it? People who don't turn up for the booster jab should be charged for the waste of vaccine and the waste of staff time, says Duan. Here's a message in that says, I'd like to know why people are missing the booster, because I'm due to have mine on the 3rd of December. Now, if there's a problem, I want to know, can anybody provide that information as to why nobody should, people wouldn't do that? You should send them a bill, says Sean in Ramsey. They're not going to show up. They should be charged. Unless anybody has a genuine reason, you should charge them for the wasted vaccine, says John as well. Fine, medical no notice, no shows for wasting time and wasting money, says Peter. I've had a letter from Manx Care calling me, telling me off for not attending for my booster. But I had attended and I got my booster. So where's the information coming from? Says Carol in Douglas. If you don't attend your vaccine appointment, you should be charged. You should be charged for it if you don't want it. You are wasting people's time and it costs money to employ those people. More importantly, it costs public money to employ people as well. Hey, come on, how would you enforce mandatory vaccines? You can't pin people down as well. So, again, they've said many, many times, but presumably if people are having a booster, they presumably had the other two vaccines. So they're not kind of anti-vaxxers. They're just not turning up for the booster. Well, you think, vaccine, I was due to get my booster today. I've had two Pfizer jabs and my booster says Pfizer, but I turned up to be told I was getting Moderna, didn't want it. That's a note in from Colin. Regarding the booster jabs, says Ian, can we clarify the notification sent to people for them to attend and receive booster jabs? I'm not aware I've received anything for me to receive a booster jab, but perhaps we should have some clarification how people get notification to go for a booster jab before we criticise them for missing their booster jabs. I understand you get a letter. I'm not qualified for my booster yet because I think I have my second jab in June of this year. So I think mine will be due possibly towards Christmas or early in the new year. So how do you qualify for your booster? Do you get a letter? I'm sure you don't get a phone call. If people refuse the vaccination again, I think, and become ill with the virus, they should pay for their treatment. That note in from Duan. And another one said, if people are no-shows, charge them for the wasted injection as well. I've got a booster due the 21st of December, but I'm travelling abroad and I want it before then. But they said it wasn't possible. Surely, if they could sort that out, says Andy. And a note in from Jim, who just said, look, if all this stuff is going to waste, why don't they just put one of those pop-up vaccine sessions so that people who do want to have a booster can get it there and then. All you need to do is take along your card and they'll know. They can put all that information in the computer rather than waste shots of vaccine. Why don't they just put pop-up booster sessions and then people who genuinely want the booster will be able to get it. And Roy said, I'm a bit disgusted that our residents are wasting valuable vaccine rather than phoning in and just letting people know they can't or won't attend. We got freedom because of these vaccines. Look at Europe. Look what's happening in Europe, where they haven't taken up the vaccine in places in Eastern Europe, certainly in Austria. Charge the people for wasting them. It's awful, says Roy. Juan's with us now from the land of the sunshine.
The land of the sunshine. How are you, Andy?
What's the weather like? Where are you? In Florida?
I am at the moment, yes. I'm in Florida now, yeah. Yes, it's fine. A bit chilly in the mornings, a bit chilly at night, but I think we haven't got the winds that you've got over there coming.
What's the situation like in Florida regarding COVID? Has everybody got masks on there?
You know what? I mean, the two free states in America is Texas and Florida. They reckon there's 1,000 people a day migrating down to Florida. A lot of that is baby boomers, but there's also people that are fed up with all the conditions that they're having to live with in other states. And they're coming to the likes of Texas and Florida to get away from it. What they're doing down here is pretty simple. You know, people should have common sense. If you want to wear a mask and you're vulnerable, wear a mask. And if you don't, just carry on with your life and get on with your life. And there's a 50-50 split, like I'm seeing most places that I'm traveling. There's people that are wearing masks and there's people that are not wearing masks. So like other times in history with other different viruses, you do what's best for you. But to start mandating things with people, I think, is a very wrong way to go. And what's happening in Austria now, I was very surprised. I'm just catching up on a few of the shows while I've been traveling around. And you had the Peel students on the other day, and you asked one of them about what was happening in Austria. And they were like, wow, I didn't know what was happening. And this is the problem. People don't know what's happening around the world because it's being censored. And what's happening now in Austria is only getting reported because there's now starting to get violence involved in stuff. But these protests have been going on for 12 months. I've reported it on this program that many times because the mainstream media is not reporting it and censoring it. And I just ask the question of why that is. So when you start taking people's bodily sovereignty away from them and governance of what they can put in their body, then I think you're on a dangerous path. I think the Isle of Man has done quite well up to now with the COVID compared to other places. I have friends in France while this COVID was on that actually had to have official papers to leave their house to go to a supermarket. What's happening in Austria is very, very scary. And people need to remember history and where, or possibly where, this could lead. And, you know, that's... I have strong views about this and where it's heading. Yes, there is a virus. If this had been any other time in history, this vaccination process would have been stopped long before on the stuff that's been reported about the vaccine. I got a paper through the other day from someone who sent me this from UK government, and at the bottom of it, it was ringed so I could see it. It's a fill-in sheet where you fill in different things. It's got vaccination 1, vaccination 2, vaccination 3, and vaccination 4. So we kind of know where this is heading. And you asked the question there, why people are not taking these boosters. That kind of suggests that you're going to put 4 shots of this here product, which is still in experimental stages, into your body within a 12-month period, plus a flu jab as well. So you asked the question of why people are not taking up the booster. Maybe that's part of the answer. I don't know.
No, you think that some people think 2 is enough?
Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what everyone said, and I've questioned that many politicians on here, and they wriggle out of proper answers. But at the end of the day, the truth is hidden in plain sight if people want to go and look for it. It's not a placebo-based vaccine. It's new technology. And if you want to put that in your body, that's fine. Everyone has their own right to do what they should do. And that's the way it should be. You shouldn't be mandating people and taking people's sovereignty and liberty away from them to put in a vaccine which is still on a trial basis.
So where do you think this is going to end up, Juan?
Where do I think it's going to end up?
Yeah.
This is... you know, you can see what's... People should be able to see what's coming down the line now. And I've been saying this, I've been a sceptic on this for 2 years, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer, I'll tell you that right now. I am not saying that there is no COVID. I'm saying that this is a catalyst for whatever is coming down the line, and it's quite clear to see what's happening coming down the line now if you look at what's happening around the world. Australia is... The protests in Australia are huge. Huge. The protests in Germany have been huge for a long, long time. And mainstream media have, for whatever reason, not reported any of this. And what is happening in Austria now, the scary thing is that no other country in the world is condemning what they're doing. And that's even scarier to where this is going. It's a long subject. I'm sure there's people going to come on and criticise what I say. I've got my views. I've always said people should look at things with open eyes, not take the first narrative that's told to you, and go and explore for yourself.
Okay.
I've always been that opinion. Before you cut me off, I just want to say I've been listening and catching up on a few programmes while I've just got myself settled. And I see Jason Morehouse picked up on the gateways to the island and the condition of the gateways to the island. And I think I said to Beth about 5 weeks ago, the condition of the entranceways to the airport was terrible. I'm glad that someone's picked up on it. I'm glad that I've stirred some stuff up. But I asked the question, if anyone's travelled through that recently, has anything actually been done? Because, you know, a lot of this stuff needs a good damn cleaning and pressure washing and a bit of paint. And I took pictures of it on the way through, and it was disgusting. And I'm wondering now, 5 weeks later, and I know Jason has picked up on this, has that actually been power washed and cleaned, or are we still talking about it? That was one point. And I listened to Claire Barber on, was it yesterday's programme, I think you had Claire on? It's nice to hear some upbeat talk about agriculture and farming from Claire. And again, I've raised concerns about this for a long time, about the future of agriculture and farming in the global aspect of things. And again, I think there's a lot of stuff that's happening in the world that has no place in the island. We shouldn't be signing up for a lot of things that's going on and protecting our image. We should be looking after our island and our people. And the government here should remember that they are the representatives of the people, you know, under the Representation of the People Act. They are representing the people and should be doing what's best for the people of the Isle of Man, not for the world agenda and not to suit other people and put our signatures onto things that really have no place for us on the Isle of Man. It should be protecting us and the island and what's best for it. And that goes along with the gas field and everything else as well. Do what's best for our island and not the suit and the narrative of world agendas, which really, they're not interested in us.
Okay. All right. When are you back on the island, June?
When it gets warmer, Andy.
Oh, well, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving and I hope you have a happy Christmas.
See you later, Andy. Take care.
All right, good to talk to you. So it's 25 past 12, man in line. We're on just talking about whether some people aren't taking up boosters. These are people who've had jabs already. They aren't taking up boosters. Lots of people, nearly 1,400 people haven't done this. So what are your thoughts on this as well? Joan's opinion from Florida. Can I just say I'm disgusted that our residents are wasting vaccine rather than phoning and letting people know as well. I'm at the Vax Hub now. And people, due to get a booster, are walking away after being told the booster is going to be a different vaccine. Well, everybody was told, and surely everybody was. Remember David Ashford mentioning this quite a while ago, that the booster possibly will be different as well. Two people I know didn't go because the lifts aren't working and can't climb the stairs back up in Chester Street as well. Why do they automatically assume people want booster jabs? Why not just send out appointments for booster jabs only if people have asked for it as well? What did the tax office do if you don't submit a tax return? Get a £100 penalty. So surely we should apply this to boosters as well. Is it correct, What is it? Who's that from? 785. Sorry, it's come all jumbled up. 785. Give us a call. Tell us what the question was as well. My wife had a booster jab the other day and is now tucked up in bed. She wasn't very well. She was ill after she was double jabbed and got COVID. The nurse gave her the jab, said that it was AstraZeneca, says Frank. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. You were saying yesterday about this new app that the government have brought out for reporting potholes.
Oh, yes.
Well, out of curiosity, I went onto it last night, and it might confuse a lot of people where you come onto the first page, and it says, enter your company code. And I thought, I put a couple of fictitious figures in that kicked me out. But then I looked back on the news, which will have disappeared now, but the company code that you enter... Now, I don't know whether they're capitals or lowercase. If they're sensitive, I put in the capitals, I-O-M, and then hit next.
Right.
And it goes down through to the pages. But what might put people off is all this data protection gulf. And there's about 10 pages of it before you get anywhere near what you're looking for. You've got to scroll through the whole lot, right down to a series of boxes, and it then gives you the sections of government that you want to enter.
Right.
So anybody, and then it's easy after that. It's just like filling in a survey. But it's not made life any easier by all that garbage that's up in front and asking for a company code. So what they should put in then is to enter that company code, which is, you only have to put it in once apparently, is I-O-M. And that way it'll take you through to the introduction, scroll right down, I thought I was never going to get out of it, and eventually it comes up with a series of little boxes, and you can pick whichever section of government you want to go into.
Is it anonymous, Howard?
It can be. It asks you for your first name, and I'm not sure there's a second name, but it's optional for your email and it's optional for a phone number.
Right, okay.
But it can go right the way down through to being anonymous if you want. So I just went onto it last night out of curiosity, and a lot of people would actually think, oh, well, I'm not going to go through all this lot here. There's pages and pages of it. It's all for the internet, you know, security. And it tells them the last time they had a cup of coffee. But persevere, get right down to the bottom, and the ability to put in your complaints is there. But it's like picking up a book when the story finishes and it's always on the last page, and that's what this is. Keep going and you'll get there.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Okay, take care. Bye
29
now.
Minutes past 12, and Chris joins us, our man in line now. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Andy. I'm a little bit curious. I've been listening to the radio and they're saying that people are not attending the boosters.
Some people, yes.
Some people, quite a lot. And I'm curious, did these people book the appointments or did the government book the appointments for the people? Because if the government booked the appointments for the people, then the government's to blame. You know, if the people booked it, then they should attend it. But I'm sort of thinking the government are booking these appointments en masse and, you know, the people aren't requesting them. So
yeah, I just wonder whether or not, I mean, I don't know, have you had your booster yet, Chris?
I've had no jabs whatsoever. I'm not anti-vax, but I just don't want something stuck in my arm that I don't know nothing about.
Okay, well...
I read lots of bad things about it, so, you know, that's my choice not to have it.
Yeah, I don't know whether you get a booster letter telling you you qualify for a booster, then you have to call 111 and then confirm it and then get an appointment. But it's weird that, over 1,300 people haven't pitched up for it. And we are hearing tales of people who don't want a particular vaccine who are turning away.
Yes, that's right, yeah. But, you know, I don't think you can blame the people if it's the government that are booking the appointments. But if the people are, then they should attend.
Okay.
That's my thoughts, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Hi. Oh, it's another Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Andy. How are you this morning?
Fine. Oh, it's Chris. In whereabouts are you, in Michigan or Ohio?
I'm in Ohio today. Just had a thought. Actually, what Chris was talking about, if the government is booking and not having folks confirm that booking, then yes, the government would be to blame. But if people are booking their own or confirming their own reservations, things should be handled, I think, the way they are here. All of our health care is private. If you don't show up for an appointment, your doctor sends you a bill. And I don't think that should apply just to COVID jabs. That should apply to all medical procedures.
So what's the situation? How does the formula work? How does the mechanic work for getting a jab in the United States?
Literally, you just show up at any place that gives them and you get them. There's no reservations. You don't have to make an appointment. You just go, and they're giving them at local drug stores. They're giving them at every hospital, every urgent care, every medical clinic in the country, practically. So literally, you want one, you walk in, you get one.
And do you have to show ID? Do they put it on record afterwards? How does that work?
It's put on record the same as most other medical procedures are here. All of our medical records are electronic, so it is recorded electronically. But there's no prior appointments, nothing of that type. But I think if folks don't show up for an appointment that they have confirmed, the NHS should send them a bill, and that's not just for a COVID jab. If you have a routine appointment and you've wasted the physician's time at the surgery, then the NHS ought to send a person a bill, say, you've wasted our time and our resources.
Have you been jabbed, Chris?
I have not, because I had COVID, recovered from it, and I believe that natural immunity born through fighting the virus is far superior to the vaccine.
Okay. All right. Drive carefully, Chris. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Andy.
27 minutes to one. It's Wednesday lunchtime, live from the Isle of Man. We've had Florida. We've had Ohio on. You want to give us a call? Call 66 13 68. I'm struggling to get my teenagers vaccinated at all, says Texter 400. I'm offered Friday appointments when I can't get out of work on a Friday. I'd love for there to be drop-in sessions at the end of the day, perhaps for leftover vaccines as well. And Maggie said, perhaps the missed appointments are due to conflicting messages on the gov.im website. My husband and I receive letters for appointments at Chester Street, whereas the website says we should go to our GP surgery. I know of a lady who was sent away from Chester Street and told to go to her GP surgery, even though the appointment read Chester Street.
When Bob and Rosa at Cafe Rosa in Glenduff retired, the most delicious food on the island retired with them. The curries, the fresh fish, the amazing roast dinners, and especially Rosa's legendary desserts. But they've decided gardening isn't for them, and now they're back. Cafe Rosa has reopened with all the old favourites to take away once again. See the menus at caferosa.org and call 816609 to book. Cafe Rosa Takeaway is open again.
Metals, metals, AMV Metals. For Steel Appeal. The number you need is For Steel. That's metals, metals, AMV Metals.
For structural steel and cladding, collection or delivery, with installation available too, just call For Steel. That's 457881.
Metals, metals, AMV Metals.
At the ARC Help at Home Centre, our in-house occupational therapist can make sure you get the right equipment for all your needs. Choose from RISE recline chairs, hospital beds, wheelchairs, walkers, hoists, and a wide range of aids to make life easier in the kitchen, bedroom, and bathroom. Want to hire rather than buy equipment? Need a handyman, carer, or home help? Then contact the ARC Help at Home Centre. Call 246054 or visit arclearning.im.
Blackford & Company won't sell you any old car insurance because Blackford & Company aren't any old insurance brokers. They specialise in car insurance for Manx residents, and because they know the area, they tailor-make the policy to suit you. So, if you're aged 21 to 80, call Blackford & Company on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Why pay more when you could pay less? Don't delay. Call Blackford's today on 832 042. Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
It's said the number 13 is unlucky for some,
but it could be lucky for you this festive season.
Here at Manx Radio, we've teamed up with IQ to give you 13 days to win an iPhone 13 on the 13th of December. Starting next Tuesday, we'll launch our Luck of the Draw competition, where all you have to do is work out a daily photo clue on the Manx Radio Facebook page.
Text your answers throughout the 13 days and you'll go into the draw to win the latest in smartphone technology.
So be lucky this Christmas with the nation's station, Manx Radio and IQ, the island's Apple premium reseller.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
23 minutes before one. Eddie's with us now. Good afternoon, Eddie.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's basically, I was at Chester Street on Monday and for the booster. I got a letter asking me to attend over a month ago. I asked the girl on the entrance, and she said to be giving out the Madeira one. I had the two Oxford AstraZeneca, and she said, well, we were doing the Madeira one today. So I filled the form out, and going on the form, on the back of the form, you've got it's for the, yes or no answers. And the second block down, it says, if you answer yes to the next questions or any of the next questions, you are not eligible for the vaccine or the booster. The first question was, are you old enough to have this injection? The forms are wrong. It's very misleading. I pointed it out to a couple of people down there. I said, of course I'm old enough, so I've got to tick yes.
Yeah.
Can you see where I'm coming from?
What did you think it meant to say?
Well, it does actually turn down and say, are you old enough to have this vaccine?
Right.
So you got to write yes.
Yeah.
But the wording above it turns around and say, if you answer yes to any of the next following questions, you're not allowed the booster.
And did you bring this up with them?
Yes, I did.
What did they say?
All I got was, it's whoever makes the forms up. It's not the girls or the gentlemen that are down there. It's the actual wording of the actual thing. But a lot of people around me hadn't noticed this. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
A lot of people, I think, have not turned up because of they've had the Oxford AstraZeneca for the last two jabs. And I asked about it, and she turned around and said, we're going to give the Moderna today. And I said, no, I said, well, okay, I'll have that. I got the booster. The gentleman gave me a card, and its name of vaccine on the card is SPIKEVAX. So it wasn't the Moderna I had.
SPIKEVAX. And that's not Moderna, then?
No, it's not. So, you know, the people down there, God love them, what they need to do is sort that form out because it's very confusing. I'm 70 years old, but there's people there that are a lot older than me, and they're not reading the form right. So I've had this booster, right? And somebody was on before, that some lady that had the booster, and she was ill in bed. It comes down to the individual. It's got to come down to the individual. I had the booster on Monday, and I'm fine with it. So I reckon it's down to the individual. These people that are not turning up, I think they're frightened because they're expecting the Oxford AstraZeneca and they're getting the Moderna or this other one that I got. So, you know, can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
They're just saying, well, I don't want that one. I want that one.
But okay.
It's the government that sent me that letter a month ago. I didn't request the booster. It's the government that sent the letter out.
All right. Okay. Thanks for calling, Eddie. Appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And Gordon joins us now. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Andy. Sorry to bother you. Just a quick one, what you're talking about. But I've got my booster at Chester Street on Saturday. I got the letter a few weeks ago. And then last Friday, I have a text from my local surgery saying, please contact us to book your booster jab.
buy one, get one free.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? So, are they connected? Are the two departments talking to each other?
Well, it seems not, does it?
And in that case, am I the only one, or are more people down south got the same scenario, and they've decided, well, in that case, I'll ring the surgery and not bother to cancel Chester Street? Which brings the numbers up, people who don't turn up.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling, Gordon. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, good to talk to you. Here's Rob with us on Man in Line now. Hi, Rob.
Hi, I'm just phoning up because I can't understand these people complaining about, they're saying that it's the government's fault about the booster vaccine. I've had a letter in saying I'm going on the 26th of November for my booster vaccine. And on that letter, it says, if you can't attend the appointment, ring 111. I don't see what the problem is. If you don't want to go to the appointment, ring 111, let somebody else go.
Why do you think people aren't turning up then?
I've no idea. Because people just don't care, I don't think. I've no idea. Well, you look at the hospital, the amount of people that don't cancel appointments, don't turn up for hospital appointments. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Do you think people should be charged for not pitching up?
No, probably not, no. I just think that they should be, like, named and shamed, to be honest. I can't understand why everybody's complaining about it. You know, the booster vaccine, if you don't want it, just ring the number and don't have it.
Okay.
That's all I've got to say, really.
All right, we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
All right, cheers, mate. Bye.
All right, and Marilyn's with us now. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Andy. It's just about the booster. The letter clearly says that if you can't... Actually, the gentleman before me has just said that if you can't make it to phone 111 and change the appointment or cancel the appointment, it's very easy. I had to cancel my husband's appointment or postpone it. And quick call, give me another appointment straight away. And also, the other guy that was on was saying about the Moderna, its proprietary name is Spikevax. That's what he said, didn't he?
So
it's the proprietary name of it.
Spikevax is the name for Moderna for the vaccine, right? I see.
Yes, it does clearly state it on the letter.
Okay. Have you had your booster, Marilyn?
Friday.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Yeah. What do you feel about the way the government and the department's handling the vaccination process?
Well, I think it's very good. You know, I mean, the letter's come plenty of time for you to change it or whatever. I've had my letter since October. You know, it's quite easy to phone up and cancel it if you don't want it. It says you can cancel it or opt out, change your appointment, whatever.
Okay. All right, Marilyn, I appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
It's a quarter to one on Manx Radio.
Out there shopping, trying not to catch the coughs, colds and any of the other nasties around. Come to ShopRite. We haven't dropped our defences an inch. It still screens at the checkouts, extra space, sanitising stations and deep cleaning in every store. Masks? Fine by us. We promise you won't be on your own. Get the safer shopping feeling at your nearest ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
How much income will you need in retirement? £10,000 per year? £25,000? £50,000? At Moore Stephens Financial Services, we'll create a personalised lifetime retirement matrix to project whether your plans are in line with reality or just a pipe dream. If they are just pipe dreams, we can show you how to get them back on track. Moore Stephens Financial Services. Here today, planning for tomorrow. Moore Stephens Financial Services Limited is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Our new van has the practicality and economy we need. It has the value for money we need. What it doesn't have is an old-fashioned engine. Max's electric vans offer up to 200 miles range for around £5 a charge, with 5 years warranty and 8 years battery warranty. There's a great choice of sizes and power outputs for every need too. Max's at Outdoor Power and Plant, Snugborough Industrial Estate. Call 611 341 and try them for yourself. Drive the future now with Max's.
Shirley's bored. The kids are grown up. All she does is cook chips and egg, drink wine and talk to the wall. Then one day, her husband finds a note on the kitchen table that says, "Gone to Greece, back in 2 weeks." Parker and Snell Company presents Willie Russell, Shirley Valentine, 25th to the 27th of November at the Gaiety Theatre. The hilarious tale of a woman rediscovering a spark for life. Tickets available now at villagaiety.com or on 600 treble 5.
Coming up, it's our final winning weekend of the year on Manx Radio. And this time, we're teaming up with Walton's. On Friday morning, Mark will be live in store at the Isle of Man Business Park, giving away an HD smart television. And following on at the weekend, we're giving away £300 to spend at Walton's on a range of electrical goods. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Walton's here on the Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along, Fast Am I, 12 minutes before 1. And Glenn, hi Glenn.
Hi Andy. I just wanted to clear something up from a gentleman who was concerned that he was supposed to have the Moderna and he got something called Spikevax. Well, as far as I'm aware, Spikevax is the trade name for Moderna.
Okay. Have you been boosted? Have you had your booster, Glenn?
Yes, I have. I've had a letter to say that because I'm immunosuppressed, I'm going to have another one in another 6 months. But I have no problem with it. I'm nearly 80 and I would much rather have a few more years to live and hopefully be COVID-free.
How do you think the government's handled it so far, Glenn?
Well, I do think that sometimes there is some confusion, and I do know that occasionally I've had, supposedly had a letter sent to me for a procedure at the hospital, which I've not received, and then I've had another letter saying, "We didn't hear from you, do we take it that you do not want this procedure?" Which then you have to ring up and say, "Well, hang on a minute, I didn't actually receive the letter for the appointment." So, you know, I think sometimes, you know, there's a problem with the postal side of things, not in the delivery maybe, but maybe from the admin side. You know, it's so easy if you're doing lots and lots of letters and post for things to, you know, to just get missed.
Do you wear a mask when you go out, Glenn?
I do, yes.
Okay. Have you always worn a mask?
I have.
Okay.
Once I was allowed to go out after lockdown.
Yeah, I just wonder what you think of, you know, I mean, some people choose not to, don't they?
They do, yes, yes. I can't really comment on that. Everybody has a right to decide what they want to do, but I do think for, you know, you should think about other people and not just yourself. And it's not a massive thing to wear a mask, is it?
What about when you go into a shop? Do you sanitise? Do you?
I do, yes. Both if I have to take a basket or a trolley, and the facilities are there. But I usually carry a pack of wipes with me anyway, so that I have my own if I go in and there's nothing available. And I have sanitizer in my bag as well.
Okay. I appreciate your call, Glenn. Thanks for that.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. And here's Tom with us on Man in Line. Hello, yes. Tom. Hi, Tom.
Yeah. Good afternoon to you, Andy. I'm an ex-nurse, 70-year-old, 33 years working for the Health Service Board, so I'm pretty well au fait about health and all the rest of it. I held back on the vaccine, particularly when I heard in Europe at that time with the Oxford there was clots in this, that and the other, and they were investigating. That was since obviously assessed and sought and deemed safe to be given to people. I attended, I'd actually went down the airport, but it was just in my head at the time, so I didn't have it. So to cut a long story short, I dropped into the to have the Pfizer at downtown, and 2 days later, I felt okay in the first day, second day fine, then I had a stroke. It affected me, in as much as my hand was all shaking, didn't have any control, my left arm was gone, and I had my leg was gone as well. It was very leaden, so I'd obviously had a minor stroke, which I knew I was having and suffering. I attended the A&E, Palatine Health Clinic right away, felt able enough to drive, reasonably safe, and they looked at me and said, have you made an appointment? I said, I'm having a stroke at the moment. Anyway, from that point, I said, I better get to A&E. So I was well screened at A&E. It was indicated I'd had a stroke and the post-effects of, which was basically called a TIA, transient ischemic attack. From that point, I've been well seen to clinically, all sorts of scans ongoing. So my point is, although I do believe in the vaccine program, it's very unlikely. I'm still sort of being assessed, and I'm going to have a further assessment in December, in the clinical window, if you like, of what has happened to me and brain and everything else. I don't feel too bad, to be fair, now. I have made quite a good recovery, but it's very unlikely that I will be having a second jab. And I'm not alone in this. I have made a couple of my friends about bad experiences with it. One man had a heart attack, the stroke's going on, and a lady up just by where I live has had a stroke as well. So, I mean, these are the side effects. You don't go in blinking to this. And I know the majority of people are pretty okay. But I do wonder, personally speaking, I do wonder, really, the effectiveness of all this. Particularly, there's a doctor there in the UK, a surgeon, had two jabs, fully screened, looked after. He got COVID and he died. Very sadly so. It's in the papers, the national papers yesterday. So really, that's my experience.
Okay. Well, just and just again, Tom, how are you in yourself?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt I've got a little. There's no doubt I would say, personally speaking, I'm okay. Am I as Tom Moore was? No, I'm not. Not really. I'm okay. I'm probably functioning over about 85%. Got to be careful when I'm out and about for a process. But I'm able to do most things okay. The left arm is okay, the left leg is still not 100%, but that's how I am. But I didn't go into this blindfolded, but certainly, reluctantly, I don't think I'll be having any more of it.
Okay, all right, thanks, Tom, I appreciate your call.
Thank you now.
Take care now, and another Tom as well. Hi,
Tom. Another Tom on the line.
It is, yes.
What I want to say is I went for my jab on Friday afternoon last week. My time was 1 o'clock. I did have to wait outside the Chester Street because the queue was quite long. So I went down for 10 to 1 as instructed. I stood in a queue 2 metres apart, and eventually we got to the lady who took your details. Then she told me to go through and to pass my form to there was a healthcare assistant collecting them, and she took it. I had a seat to sit down. There were only two seats left that you could sit on. The whole place was full of people waiting to be seen to, which I didn't think was particularly good.
So how many people would you estimate were in there, Tom?
If I said 50, I don't think I would be telling lies.
Good grief.
Yes.
50 people.
Yes. And there were people standing waiting to go through to be jabbed. You know, they had them killed. But the point I want to make is that my appointment was at 1 o'clock. I was still waiting by 2 o'clock. Right? And I only raised the issue with the young lady who was, you know, taking the forms off you when I noticed a man who'd come in behind me had been taken through, and two workmen who said their appointment was for 1:15, they were taken through to be jabbed. Now, I explained my circumstances, that I did need to get home, and the girl looked through the forms and said, well, I had about another at least half hour to go.
What?
Now, The forms had been taken off her on several occasions by a lady in plain clothes. She'd gone into a little room near where I was waiting, and then she came back out again. I think maybe what had happened, they'd reshuffled the papers.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I raised the issue with them. The girl spoke to a person who I think was a senior nurse. She was navy blue. And she came and spoke to me and apologised. And then I was taken through and I had my jab in the left arm. It was not uncomfortable. The lady who gave the injection was very good. And then I had to go and sit for 15 minutes before I left the building. But I did feel my joints ache and my, you know, neck and things are all sore. And that was, it was like that when I had my... hang on, are you still there?
Yep, quickly, if you would, Tom.
Yeah, okay, but that's it. But I thought there was too many people there at that time and the system couldn't have been... That's possibly why people aren't coming along.
Okay, all right, Tom. We appreciate your call. Appreciate that as well. Everybody has their say on Man in Line, and thank you for having yours today. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing Man in Line. By the way, a week today, the minister will be in. Laurie Hooper, Minister for the Department of Health and Social Care, will be in. Be interesting to see what Mr. Hooper has to say. I'm back tomorrow, by the way.